You, played by Sonny Rollins, a session put together in October 1958 by Lester Koenig, who ran the Contemporary label, and he called the band the Contemporary Leaders because everyone in the band was a leader on the label. Victor Feldman vibes, Hampton Hall's piano, Barney Kessel guitar, Leroy Vinegar bass, and Shelley Mann on drums. And that's all for this week. I'll be back next week, as I said. But now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's Julian Joseph and Jazz Lineup.
Hello! The sound of the Brian Molly Quartet when they appeared on our very own Jazz Lineup stage, and he's our featured concert set artist today. Also coming up, we've music from vocalist Candice Springs and a new collaboration for our very own Leanne Carroll. And there's music from two collectives, the Electro Fusion Kneebody and the star-filled Hudson that boasts John Scofield on guitar and Jack DeJohnette on the drums. But first up, action-packed swing from the brilliant American pianist George Colligan with his fine quartet. Linda Mahan O is on bass, Rudy Royston on drums, and Nicole Glover is on saxophones. And this is Wiffle Ball. Thank you. From the album More Powerful, that was pianist George Colligan with Wiffle Ball. The album is out now on the prolific Whirlwind Recordings label, run by the effervescent and brilliant American bass player who resides in London, Michael Janish. Next up, we've a tribute album with a difference, featuring a top-drawer collection of vocalists celebrating the music of alto saxophone icon Charlie Parker. The Passion of Charlie Parker is the name of the album, and the brainchild of bassist and producer extraordinaire Larry Klein, with lyrics by songwriter David Bearwald. Klein and Bearwald weave a narrative through the tapestry of Parker's life, using his music with original lyrics for a creative and fitting tribute to one of the great masters of jazz. The fine voices of Gregory Porter, Kurt Elling, Melody Gardot, and Madeline Peru all make an appearance. And on this track, a previous Jazz Lineup guest, Candice Springs, features. She sings the melody to Parker's Little Suede Shoes, retitled lyrically, To Live My Love For You.
It's in the simple little things you do. It's in your true soul shining through. You make the storm clouds turn so blue. It's why I live my life for you. When the money's late and rent is due, the wolves are gathering on the avenue. You hold me dancing up at the door. That's why I live my life for you. Oh, and I know that you adore me, and never will you bore me. And I know your heart is true. And yes, I know it won't be easy, but as long as you need me, I'll be here to see you through. No matter how the times attack the mind, no matter that we're always flying blind, no matter we were always going to cry, I'll always live my love for you.
Candice Springs and Live My Love For You from The Passion of Charlie Parker, out now on the Impulse label. Well, we heard a snippet at the very top of the show from British saxophonist and band leader Brian Molly, who will feature in our concert set portion later on the show. But here's a taster from his current album, and this is The Pushcar Push. The Pushcar Push from saxophonist and featured concert set artist Brian Molly from his album Colour and Movement. And we'll be hearing more from Brian and the band with his thoughtful music a little later on the show. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph. Next up, British vocalist Leanne Carroll. The album is called The Right to Love and produced by fellow Hastings resident James McMillan, and it marks the fourth collaboration with McMillan, which Leanne explains is something where we could explore some of the issues of the less obvious attitudes towards love. And this is Leanne's take on the Hoagy Carmichael classic Skylark.
Thank you.
see, serenaded in the moon. Oh, skyline, I don't know. You leave me there, yeah.
Leanne Carroll and Skylark from her latest recording released on the Quiet Money label. On the album, she has a stellar cast that includes Mark Edwards and Malcolm Edmonston on piano, Mark James is on guitars, Loz Garrett and Roger Carey are on bass, Ralph Salmons and Russell Field are on drums, and superstar saxophonist Kirk Whalum makes an appearance. Well, we move ever closer to our concert set featuring the Scottish-based Brian Molly Quartet. Brian is a talented and industrious saxophonist and bandleader who, since recording his debut album Clock in 2013, has toured the UK, the United States, and India several times. Featured in the quartet are some of Scotland's most in-demand players, with Tom Gibbs on piano, Ewan Burton on the bass, and Stuart Brown on drums. Brian and the quartet featured on the Jazz Lineup stage at the Glasgow Jazz Festival. And before we hear the music, here is Brian speaking with Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre, who asked Brian about his experiments in time in a number of ways.
And I guess that's just something that I've enjoyed working with and sort of kind of pulling around a bit, playing with on the first album. And the second album, we took that concept quite a bit further. And I didn't want it to become in any way sort of complicated for its own sake, but there are 12 tracks on the new album, and they're in each of the 12 keys of the musical scale and 12 different time signatures, and that's where the title Colour and Movement comes from. Those are the qualities that people tend to associate from key and from time signature too.
And you talk about broadening the base of the vocabulary of the quartet and bringing in lots of different influences. You've been spending a lot of time in India as well. Your connection with India is quite strong.
Yeah.
How has that impacted upon you as a musician?
Yes, well, we're just back from our third trip to India. And, well, one of the main and very obvious impacts is that each time we've been able to collaborate with Indian musicians, which has been incredible. And I think one of my main focuses or my main interest in music is just to be really curious about music, all kinds of music, really. But to be able to go somewhere like India and work with local musicians and be able to learn really from them, because it really is, I'm there to learn. It's a really fantastic experience, and certainly since we've come back from India, I've written quite a lot of music that clearly has got an Indian influence to it, and we're still learning. One of the things that we did last year was record an album of my music mixed with Rajasthani folk music, and I had written a lot of music to take with us to that trip and left it open-ended enough so that we could all contribute to it to make it this sort of kind of organic thing. And that was really amazing. And this trip that we've just returned from just now, we worked with a percussionist, so it was a slightly different approach there. We didn't have the same concerns in terms of the harmony that we would use. Kishore, who's an incredible percussionist, he was from Tamil Nadu, which has got a completely different musical heritage and it's very sort of rich musical culture. So it really is, it's been a fantastic opportunity for us as a group, and especially for me as a musician, and I do hope we'll return to India many times, because there's just so much to learn. The music there is just incredible.
So when we think of India, first and foremost, I suppose rhythm and metre springs to mind.
Yes.
Because of the tala and the raga system and,
sure.
And the fact that there's such complexity. But also Indian music has great melodic richness and also counterpoint as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And is some of that flowing into what you do too?
Yes, absolutely. And again, it's we're always learning about that those aspects of the music. And in the first collaboration that we did, not only did I bring some music to the table, our friends in India also brought some music. So we learned some of their folk music, which has all those really beautiful characteristics. But one of the things as well in preparing to do that journey was to write music that would have the harmonic context that we as jazz musicians are so familiar with, but being able to put that into the context of Indian music. And I thought for a long time about what I was going to write before I put pen to paper, very sort of carefully trying to think about making the project work in the best way that it could. And, you know, I think we did produce some really beautiful music.
And is there anything in today's performance which will give us a kind of direct reflection of that?
Sure, yes. Well, we will actually play one of the tunes this afternoon that we recorded in Rajasthan, and that's called Journeys in Hand, In Hand. We had worked on that tune as a collaboration, so there's 8 musicians on that. But then when I came back to the UK, I sort of really liked the tune. I felt I could do something with it in a jazz quartet setting as well. So we've incorporated that into our set. And actually, it's on a recent album, Colour Movement 2, so it'll be on both albums.
Fantastic. Really looking forward to that. Brian, what are you going to start your set with?
The first track is called Jacksonville, then Journeys in Hand, and we'll close out with Lexington 101.
Fantastic. Brian, a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, Andrew, thanks, Kevin. Great to be here.
Thank you.
Lexington 101 from the Brian Molly Quartet, with Molly on tenor saxophone, Tom Gibbs on piano, Ewan Burton on the bass, and Stuart Brown on drums. That was recorded especially for Jazz Lineup at the Glasgow Jazz Festival. And for all the titles and information, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Next up, something with a British theme from an American original. Music from guitarist Bill Frisell with bassist Thomas Morgan for their album Small Town. This is their take on the classic James Bond theme tune captured live at the Village Vanguard in New York, and this is Goldfinger. Thank you. The sound of Bill Frisell and Thomas Morgan, and that was their take on John Barry's Goldfinger, out now on the ECM label. Well, at the top of the show, I promised music from two collectives. Our first one is inspired by New York's idyllic Hudson River Valley that incubated an explosion of creativity that famously influenced the music, arts and crafts at the Woodstock Music Festival in 69. The group Hudson is made up of residents in this creative hub, and they are the keyboardist John Medeski, bassist Larry Grenadier, guitar legend John Scofield, and drum icon Jack DeJohnette. This is their take on Bob Dylan's A Hard Rain's A Gonna Fall.
Thank you.
The Sound of Hudson. And that was their take on Nobel Prize winner Bob Dylan's A Hard Rain's Are Gonna Fall, from the album Hudson, out now on the Motema label. Next up, the electro jazz fusion outfit Kneebody, that hail from Los Angeles, and is made up of Shane Ensley on trumpet, Ben Wendell on saxophone, Adam Benjamin on keyboards, Kaveh Rastegar on bass, and Nate Wood on drums. This is For the Fallen.
Thank you.
For the Fallen, from the texturally rich and groove-laden band Knee Body, from their ninth studio album Antihero, also out on the Motema label. We end our show today with music from the talented trumpeter and composer from Finland, Veneri Pohjola. The album is called Pekka, and this is First Morning. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
And that was First Morning, performed there by Veneri Pohjola, ending this week's edition of Jazz Lineup. Tonight's programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And there'll be more jazz later on tonight with Geoffrey Smith, who will be featuring Norwegian diva Karen Krog, who celebrated her 80th birthday last year. And on Monday night at 11 o'clock, Jazz Now presents a concert by the Tolvan Big Band.
In the rubble of the Second World War, one thing survived.
The radio infrastructure in Germany was still there.
These studios and these radio stations, they were absolutely at the cutting edge.
As West Germany tried to imagine a new future, avant-garde music offered a solution.
It's internationalist, it's anti-fascist, it's anti-communist.
An awful lot of new works came to be because the radio stations commissioned them.
There was no rule book. They had to dream up new ways of putting sounds together.
Join me, Robert Warby, for Radio Controlled, tomorrow evening at 6:45 and then available on the BBC Radio 3 website.
Good evening, I'm Chris Berrow on BBC Radio 3. Now, later at 9:45, the poet Robert Crawford considers the role that Scottish physicist Ronald Dreever played in the search for gravitational waves. Then at 10:15, Kate Mollison presents Here and Now, featuring recordings from a concert given by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra in December, including premieres of two new works inspired by Scotland and Scottish culture. It's coming up to 6:30. It's time for Opera on 3 and our broadcast from the Met in New York.
We are live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, and today we bring you Donizetti's endearing romantic comedy, L'Elisir d'Amore, The Elixir of Love. Tenor Matthew Polanzani and soprano Pretty Yende star as Nemorino and Adina, the humble village boy and the vivacious girl who's a bit out of his league. The cast also features baritone Davide Luciano as Sergeant Belcore and bass Ildebrando D'Arcangelo as the fast-talking Dr. Dulcamara, all conducted by Domingo Hindoyan. This performance is also being shown in theaters around the world live in HD, and during intermission, HD host Susanna Phillips will go backstage to talk with our stars. Stay with us.
And we'll be rejoining New York in just a few moments. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. Now, let's head back to New York.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, here with commentator Ira Siff. Ira, I look forward to hearing The Elixir of Love whenever it's on stage, but it's a special treat around Valentine's Day.
Well, it's a romantic comedy with hilarious antics and real heart, and that's always a fail-safe formula. Donizetti's music is criminally melodic. It's often touching. The characters' foibles make them so very human, and so all this sets L'Elysir apart from standard operatic comedies of its time.
Yeah, audiences loved it right from its premiere in 1832. The librettist, Felice Romani, was already quite famous. He had just written Norma and La Sonnambula with Bellini, and he had worked with Donizetti on his first big success, the historical tragedy Anna Bolena. Well, they achieved something quite different with L'Elysir.
And on quite a deadline. A theater in Milan needed a new opera after another composer failed to deliver. Well, Donizetti took the assignment less than 10 weeks before the scheduled premiere.
And wrote this amazing music in less than 4 weeks. To save time, Romani adapted the libretto from an existing opera, Le Filtre by Daniel Auber.
Right, that was a frothy French comedy, but Romani added verses that inspired some of Donizetti's most affecting music, like Nemorino's solo, Adina Credimi, where he pleads with her not to marry Sergeant Belcore, or Adina's gorgeous aria in the last act.
Well, both of our stars today, Pretty Yende and Matthew Polanzani, have talked about how